Welcome to Kingsway's weekly podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I just felt I saw gold planks coming down behind each of us, and the Lord said that there's a strengthening going to occur in our life with Him. So the real sense of a real strengthening coming in our understanding, our awareness of, and our life with Jesus.
Yeah, so I was like thinking, what is baptism about? And of course, I know everything about baptism. So I was like, what's someone going to write down? But then I found out I don't really know much about it. So what most of us do is just Google it. So baptism is a word that you'll find in the Greek, baptizo. And in Wikipedia, it says it is a ritual to invite new people as a member of family in the church body. And I was like, yeah, but we're Kingsway, and the people that are getting baptized, I'm pretty sure we've already embraced them as part of our family. Yes. So there must be more to it. All right, then. And then I was going a bit through my Bible, and I found out, yeah, baptism is about what Jesus did for us. So what did Jesus do for us? He came down to earth. He died a pretty brutal way. But the most amazing thing, and full of joy, I have to say, he did come back, and he resurrected. So when a person stands in the water, they get unite with Christ. They get dipped, baptizo, into the water, into his death. But then we don't leave them there. We pull them back out. We pull them back out. We resurrect them in Jesus into new life. So all in all, I would say it is an outward sign of the inward changes that people have already been gone through. So I like quite the example of two people that love each other. I like, so after some months, you might go, I love you forever. But after a while, you'll actually want to make it public. You'll actually want to go and take the step of marriage. And in front of a family and a church and all your friends, you'll want to say yes. So all we're doing today is we're going to be here celebrating that the two girls, Vanessa and Leticia, there they are going to publicly show us that you don't want to just be fans of Jesus, that you want to be followers of Jesus. So, and we're here to celebrate with you as your family and your church and your friends. So let's get prepared.
Sorry? Probably. You're walking, you're just walking on water. So Rose is going to share for a few minutes, and then Andy is going to share for a few minutes. Just some things that they felt they wanted to share this afternoon. So away you go.
Thanks, love. I wanted to share a bit about my testimony, really, about my background with Jesus, and obviously lead on to how that's sort of come into my journey with our destiny. So about 2 years ago, I had quite a dramatic experience with the Lord. Before that, I had been really poorly for years, literally years, probably something that had begun when I was a child. And it started showing its ugly face when I was around 12, which is quite common because of puberty and stuff like that, so hormones and stuff. But by the time I was 18, I had had quite an eventful life, and I had experienced an awful lot for my age. Got pregnant with my daughter, Emma. And I honestly mean it when I say I would not be here today if I hadn't got pregnant with her. She literally saved my life, and is a true testimony of how good God is and how he turns everything around for good. She is such a precious gift. So after the chaos of life and being pregnant, it sort of forced me to grow up really quickly. And I settled down a lot and eventually got married to my best friend and had Tom, which is another blessing because he's amazing as well. But amongst all that was going on, within a few years of normality, in the background, my mental health was completely shot. And I was a ticking time bomb for having a huge breakdown. Something that I had experienced a few times before that, so it wasn't something I didn't know. I was used to it. But this one was particularly nasty and was one I would definitely remember. So anyway, to cut a long story short, and don't bore you to death, I reached a point where I'd literally given up and lost hope. Some people don't understand this, and it's hard, I get it, because I've got two kids and people say, well, I don't, whatever. I got to the point where I had enough and I was begging God to take my life. I was struggling with the idea of suicide just because I didn't want the stigma on my kids that their mum had done it, but I was desperate to die, so my only option was to beg God to do it for me. I was so poorly, and anyway, the Lord had been speaking to me for a while before that, and coming up to it, I've wrote all this down, actually. It's a bit of a mish. It's about 10 pages long, so this is really the short version of what happened to me. But if you ever want to read it, you can. You don't have to, though. My theology's changed a lot since I wrote it, so it's probably still full of religious stuff. But the general gist of what happened to me, isn't it? But basically, I was in the bath one day, and I was set. I had it set on my mind that I'm going to do it. I don't know how, but I was just going to run off or do something stupid. And Jesus spoke to me, and it was really, really clear. I wouldn't say it was an audible voice, but it was really obviously God. And he just said to me, Rose, just give it to me. Just submit it. Submit your suffering to me. And I didn't understand what that meant, but I just knew that he knew better. And I just said to him, okay, I give you it all. Just have it. I know that I'm weak, but through my weakness, you bring so much strength. And at that moment, I got absolutely flooded with supernatural peace and joy, and I was crying my eyes out in the bath. With relief, because I knew at that point what it meant to really trust Jesus. I'd never done that before, really. I'd just sort of said I was a Christian, but this was trust, because I didn't want to live anymore, and I was saying to him, look, just take my life, have it, because you're going to use this for your glory, and that's all I want. And I've never experienced peace like it in my life. After that, everything completely changed. Over a series of few weeks, I was just obsessed with the Word of God, and I couldn't put my Bible down. And I got absolutely besotted with Jesus, and I was feeling him and everything, and filled with the Spirit, and I didn't even know that was possible, because I'd been brought up in a Brethren church, and just what we'd been taught was just, it was just a very distant view of God. And he showed me over a few weeks how I could be free from anxiety, and it was all through his love, and through the verse of perfect love casts out fear, and I wrote a little piece on it and stuff to keep because it was just mind-blowing. And through all that, I knew Mark at the time, and he'd read my testimony, and he was like, whoa, this girl's really been touched by Jesus, and we got in touch. Thank you. And we started praying together and stuff, and Kirsty and another friend called Tom. And eventually he was telling me about Kingsway and stuff, and I was like, I want to go, it sounds amazing. You what? It's all right. I found out about the ministry school, and I just wanted to do it more than anything in the world. And it was just amazing how God sort of sorted it all out. I was able to do the first 4 weeks of the school last year when Sam and Olivia and Chris did it. And what was I saying? My memory is so bad at the moment. That's why I wrote stuff down. Anyway, whatever. I did the first 4 weeks, and God had sorted childcare out and everything. I didn't even go looking for it. He just handed it on a silver platter, like he does. And it was absolutely incredible. It literally changed my life. Like, just the first 4 weeks enough were amazing. And it just made me want to do the school even more. At the time, I obviously couldn't finish it. It wasn't the right time and stuff, just with childcare and whatever. I couldn't continue with it, but it just made me really excited to do the full school. So this time around, I was just really, really excited. However, thank you. Our destiny hasn't necessarily been all fairies and rainbows and unicorns. it's actually been quite a... actually been quite a challenge for me. I think it's truly tested my faith and shifted me in everything of what I believe, and it's been good, like, in a good way. But over the last few months, like, my symptoms had been returning, and I'd been exhausted, and this depression was coming over me, and it was just really hard, and I felt like giving up so many times. But I knew it was a lie, and despite that, I'm holding on to Jesus' promises, because I know I am healed. I know I am. I've learned so much about myself, and it's been an invaluable 5 months, and I'm so grateful for all your patience with me and your love. I know God's got an amazing future for me, and despite my feelings, I'm choosing to trust him. I know he is good, and he is the source of all my needs and desires. And I just really love you all. Love you. Amen.
Okay, well, we're going to pray for all the students in a few moments, but Andy is going to come and share a few thoughts for us first. So let's welcome Andy Barber.
Hello. Do you know that lady over there is probably one of the most bravest women I've ever met in my life, and I'm so blessed to have her as my sister. Just want to tell you about a few little things. So I came to iDestiny. I had some friends. And there was something very, very unique about them. I saw three friends that were experiencing all the things that people talk about in the Bible. And I said to my friend, I want what they've got. Everyone's talking about it. I want to see it. I want to do it. Dad, wherever you are, up there, in me, and everywhere else that you are, I want to see this. I want to see all these miracles. I prayed with my friend, and my friend said, Andy, you're going to have to go to Mark's church, which is Kingsway. Mark doesn't own this place, but Mark, see, where is he hiding? Somewhere he's hiding there. Mark and Tom and Rose are two very, very dear friends of mine, and through a really, really difficult time in my life, they just loved me with the love of the Lord, which is unconditional. Unconditional means when you love, there's no but added to it. I love you, but it's unconditional. And they really prayed for me, and loads of crazy things started happening to me. I didn't really believe in tongues and all those wacky things until God whacked me and I started speaking in a foreign language. And we had this crazy night of prayer where suddenly I actually lost all the vocal capacity of any sound until this word shrieked out of my mouth, Kit Kat. And we laughed and I went, oh, I went to bed that night and I sat there with the Lord and I was like, what was that about Kit Kat? I wasn't even hungry. And, you know, but then what happened is I started to speak in a foreign language and then I went to bed praying in tongues. I started to speak in tongues. I went to bed that night and I started to speak in tongues myself to sleep. Prophesy while I was asleep. Prophesy when I woke up. Spent 14 days speaking in a foreign language, which was really awesome. And I later found out, I told my friend about this wacky sort of event. She got back to me and she said, those words that you speak are either Greek, Hebrew, or Aramaic. And what they actually mean is pure and provision. So that was really wonderful. I want to talk to you about a few little things. There's a couple of things. I haven't made any notes, but somebody else did. It's in this great big book here called The Bible. And it's really good. Saves me like loads of, because anybody who knows me, I can barely read and write. So anyway, there's this like lovely thing. Jesus, he came to make his home in you. He came to set you free from all the laws of sin and death and everything else. Christ in me, the hope of glory. What this means is, I'm just going to speak now about your identity, is Christ in me, the hope of his glory. Do you realize that you are the hope of Christ's glory? The things you do. Isn't that, that's pretty gorgeous, that, isn't it? Yeah. There's a lot of people who don't realize quite who they are, because they don't know their identity. They don't realize actually who came to make their home within them. Jesus put you in the safest place you could be on this, on the, in the world. He put you in his Son, in him, and his Holy Spirit in you. I used to pray. I was a soldier for most of my adult life. I spent most of my life on operations overseas, basically getting shot at on a daily basis. And you know what? I just could not die. It was impossible. I literally used to walk through guns and bombs and fires and explosions and used to think, flipping heck, I'm the hardest man you've ever met. In fact, I'm so cool. And I thought I was like Ram Barber, because my surname's Barber. Anyway, God's got an excellent sense of humour, because he was always like laughing at me going, oh, that's my boy down there, such a nugget. Anyway, come to this point in my life where a preacher, we sort of met each other and I told him a story. I said, you know, I just can't be killed. I've been actually killed more than most people, but I just keep getting up. I was like, I'm the luckiest man you've ever met. And he was like, what an honour to meet you. And then he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, do you know, can I tell you something slightly different? He said, and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, I believe that the Lord, our God of heaven and earth, loves you so much. He loves you as his beloved. He loves you so much that he will not allow a hair on your head to be harmed. And he's trying to prove this to you by regularly all these crazy circumstances. And at that moment, I just realized, I started to shake, turn blue and sweat profusely and almost collapse. And I didn't know what it was. Later, I know that's this person called the Holy Spirit, and he was coming to make his home within me. And I gave my life to Jesus. And it was absolutely crazy since then, because the Lord had to do a lot of work in me. because I wasn't really a human being. I was a machine. I was a man who was very trained and to do specific jobs to protect other people in this world. I had no time for emotion. I had no time. I had to make split-second explosive decisions to save people's lives. I had no compassion. And that's not what God wanted. Any of you will know me. That's a little. You'll know there's some lovely things. Everyone who knows me, if you know me well, you'll know that I'm gentle. You'll know that my gentleness is evident. Jesus completely transformed so much of me, absolutely everything. He set me free. It's cool. You know the truth that sets you free? When it sets you free, it set me free from me. It set me free from everyone else, which means no one else has an effect on me apart from the love. Hallelujah. The love gets in, but nothing else. It just avoids me altogether. Jesus, when I allowed him to embrace me with his love, it absolutely consumed every part of my being. That's the reason I can stand here today and not be scared or shy. That's the first time I've ever played in a band or anything at the front. I'm not remotely shy because there's no room in it, because fear and worry, you know. When you're full of love and you know the love of the Lord, it casts out all, perfect love casts out all fear. Yeah. So I just wanted to share that with you. So the Lord transformed me so much. And I met these dudes who were just awesome. Then I started having all these miracles happen to me. Like, I started to do all this stuff that goes on in the Bible. Like, have visions, dream dreams, all this. But I'd had, like, nightmares for years. And dream dreams, have visions. Then I started to pray for people. And you started falling on the floor and started shaking and then becoming Christians. Because God's bewildering love had touched them. And then I started to sort of pray for healing, didn't know what to say. But God, you know, in the Bible, it says, lay hands on the sick, lay hands on them. So I just lay hands on someone, couldn't think of any words. People were getting healed. And it was really, really amazing. It absolutely baffled me that God chose a man like me. And he chooses us all. And sometimes it's just a case of practicing these wonderful gifts. I just want to tell you a little bit about your identity, because this is really cool. There was this lady in the Bible, and she was called the Shulamite. And the Shulamite represents you and me. And she was a little bit sort of, she sort of believed she was a bit rubbish. But the shepherd king, who is Jesus, wasn't having any of it. And she'd sort of said, I just want to be around you. I wish to be wrapped all around you, Jesus. I go amongst the flocks under your shepherds. It is you four with no veil between us. She didn't want any. There was separation between her and Jesus. And then there comes this point where the shepherd king literally says, listen, my radiant one, this is you. Listen, my radiant one, because you belong to him, you're his. If you ever lose sight of me, just follow in my footsteps where I lead my lovers. Come with your burdens and your cares. Come to the place near the sanctuary of my shepherds. There you will find me, my dearest one. That's like a lover and a friend. Let me tell you how I see you. You are so thrilling to me. To gaze upon you is like looking at one of Pharaoh's finest horses. And as we know, horses are symbols of beauty and strength. So one of these things is what I got from all this is if you choose to agree with what God thinks about you, it's always good to agree with God. Does that sound right? You can either sort of agree with people or you can agree with God. And what's really funny, as I look through the Bible, there's all these people who thought different things about themselves, but God would only have beautiful things remembered about them. There was a woman, her name was Naomi, and she was a woman who was looking after this other lovely lady called Ruth. Ruth was a younger lady. And she went through this little bit, and she was so unhappy. She went, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mard, which means bitter. And at that point in the Bible, there's a full stop, and God completely ignores her and says, Naomi, and goes back, because he was just not interested in what she thought of herself. There's another little bit in here. It's really, really cool. There was a bloke called Abraham, and everyone said he was what he actually did is, if you read it, Abraham really, he didn't trust God that much. And he sort of made his own plans and schemes and came up with all these other things. But later on, what it says in the New Testament is, Abraham believed and it was accredited to him as righteousness. God had it recorded. All the stuff that he'd sort of got wrong, God would not have it recorded. He'd done all this stuff wrong. But it says later on, God wasn't having any of the rubbish that was going on in the past. He had him remembered at being. Now, Abraham believed, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. There was another chap in here. Oh, actually, his name was Peter. I can't wait one day to go to heaven and meet him. He's so lovely. This really spoke to my heart about Jesus's nature, because what he did is he sort of jumped over the side of a boat and went to meet Jesus, who was walking on the water. So he went to meet him. And I used to read this in a very, very different way. So he jumped out of the boat, right? Goes over, and he sort of said, "Don't be afraid, Lord, if it's you." Peter replied, "Tell me to come out onto the water," he said. Peter then got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, when he took his eyes off Jesus, then he was afraid and he began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, help me." Instantly, Jesus stuck out his hand and grabbed him and said, "You've little faith. Why did you doubt?" One thing that I just want to share with you about this has really been on my heart. Jesus put out his hand to him. And when you put out your hand, there's points in my life when people have put out their hand to me. And when they put out their hand, when you grab somebody's hand, when you're shaking hands, you shake hands. But when you're lifting somebody up, when you're really holding on to them, you grab each other like this. You grab his, because there's great power in that. And I tell you, the Lord will always lift you up. If you put your hand out to him, he will always put his hands out to you, and he'll pull you out of anything. You can trust him so much. This little bit here says, "You've little faith." Can you imagine sinking in some water after going out to meet somebody and them saying, "Oh, you have little faith"? But it's not like that. Jesus is so beautiful. He's a real figure of encouragement. Jesus is saying here, "Oh, you have little faith. Come on, you can do this. Why did you doubt?" Because Jesus wants you to believe in yourself. He wants you to believe that you can do things. But he made his home in you as well. And I just want to leave you with that. That it says we can do all things in Christ Jesus. I used to be quite grumpy. I came to this church and I saw her. See, there, he's not looking. I saw her laughing my head off. And years ago, I would have said, "She's wacky." But I just went, "Do you know what?" I said, "Lord, when was the last time I've laughed so much?" And I actually couldn't remember. I was taking my faith so seriously, taking my life so seriously. Life had been very hard to me. I'd also mucked a lot of it up. And I just thought, "Lord, I want to laugh like that lady and that one." And I was just like, "Lord, I want to laugh like that." And then what I did is I started coming here, and I just found that I stopped taking everything so seriously, started enjoying the salvation and the life that Jesus gave me. I started having fun, and I started to laugh. And I started to laugh all the time. And I started to laugh like a child, like a precious child of God, filled with love and filled with joy, and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh all the time. And it's been absolutely amazing, because I tell you what, laughing is an incredible medicine. And yeah.
Miriam, I would like you to come and share your spa story. Don't look at it. Would that be all right? Yeah, because it's an incredible encouragement to us if we want to hear it.
Okay, I wanted to keep it actually for the last January weekend.
Oh,
but...
well, we'll have forgotten by then. You'll have plenty more
things. So Jonas and I chose to go for a spa weekend after Christmas to just have some time for each other, just on our own. So we went to this really, really nice... golf resort, and we just had a really nice time. But what I usually do in my first evenings when I'm on a new place, I usually think, how good do I know the place to flee in case someone attacks? And it is unfortunately a thing I do quite often before I fall asleep when like my mind's going a bit. So I was a bit fearful about that. I really didn't know the grounds well enough to flee if someone was attacking. So what I then did is like poke Jonas. He was like half asleep already. He said, please pray over me that these thoughts may go because I don't like them. So he prayed over me and the thoughts went. What then happened, unfortunately, was I had a big void in my head, so there was nothing, and I really don't like that. So I was like, yeah, okay, let's start filling it again. What am I going to do tomorrow? And I knew I had booked a treatment as a pedicure, so I was like, oh, yeah, pedicure. And I was asking God, well, what you got for me tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, my thoughts, and I was thinking pictures, so I saw a lady and was like, oh, Barbara. Oh, yeah, Barbara was the storm 2 days ago, and I thought, Barbara? Okay, just keep it in mind, and I've got still thinking my thoughts. In my thought, usually the pedicure ladies, they sit at your feet, and she was reaching out her left hand, and I put my hand on her wrist, and I was like, now this is strange, but maybe I'll pray for her, because since Ian has spoken, I am so into it, I want to see healing. So I was like, okay. Healing, Barbara. Okay, but what's this all about? What? How am I going to do this? And I was still asking, well, what's it about? And I started sawing a spiral, like a spiral book. And I was like, now this is strange. I don't think this belongs to Barbara and her wrist. But then it turned into a screw. I was like, okay, is it a screw in the wrist? And I got, yes. So, okay, cool. Poor Jonas was sleeping again. And I poked him again. Please give me a pen and paper. I have to write it down. So he woke up and willingly gave me pen and paper. So I wrote down, Barbara, left wrist, screw, and underneath, stiffness, go, which was my thing, I want to see healing. So in the morning when we were all awake, I then told Jonas the story. I said, listen, Barbara, my pedicure lady will be Barbara. I should do this more often to know who I'm going to encounter, something like that. And we went down for breakfast, and because it's like a big resort, people serve you. And there was a lady, and I was looking at her name badge, Barbara. And I was like, oh, Jonas, did you see her name badge? And he was like, no. And I was like, And it was like, oh, Barbara. And he was like, oh, really, really? And we like got really excited. I couldn't eat my porridge anymore. I was like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? So she came and brought us some toast. And I said, Barbara, my name is Miriam. Can I ask you something? And she was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, yeah, we're Christians. And sometimes at night, I ask God what he's got in for me the next day. And he gave me the name Barbara and screw in wrist. And she goes, yeah, here, sure.
On the left side.
On the left side. I didn't say left, but she showed me her left wrist and showed me there was a scar where she had an operation. And she said, it's not exactly one screw, it's four screws that fix a plate on her wrist. And I was like, okay, here comes the healing part. May I pray for your wrist so it's healed? And she was like, no, don't. It's like, it's wonderful. And she was flipping it around and stuff. And it was like, and I was like, oh no, what are we going to say now sort of thing? Because I don't have the healing part anymore. And what Jonasson wisely did was saying that God sometimes does these things to just show us details, and that he even loves the details, and he cares about her so much that he would make me ask her if she has screws in her wrist to let her know that she's loved. And so this lady stands in a full breakfast room. He loves me. It was beautiful. And she even got her colleague like, Judy, they didn't know about my wrist and my screws, and she was, and God loves me. And it was, it was so beautiful. And I've got Jonas out here because I want him to tell you a bit of his part of the story, because God just doesn't come and gives me random words to then just touch Barbara and me. He, as collateral thing, touched Jonas.
So for me, the story actually started 2 or 3 days before. It was the first time after those 13 or 14 weeks of iDestiny where we had some time just to do a sum up or just to think about what actually happened over this time. And then I said to God, it's so cool what we heard over this time, but now I want to see something that's so undoubtedly you. I want to see something of your of the realness of the kingdom. So, and yeah, but nothing immediately happened. So 3 nights later, my nice wife woke me up, said, like she told you, oh, I have weird thoughts, could you pray for me? So half asleep, I said, in the name of Jesus, I command those thoughts to go, fall asleep again. She poked me, pen and paper, okay, slept again. I mean, the rest of the story is known. And then the next morning, we sat there, and the whole story, as she said, took place. And then I was a little bit confused after that. She said, oh no, I don't need no healing, I'm totally fine. And then I realized it's actually not for her, this word of wisdom, it's for me. It's God showing me that he is interested, obviously, in Barbara, but far more in me. It was somehow the answer of this prayer, him asking me to show how real he is, how he knows about things we couldn't know for sure. I mean, we didn't see the lady before at any time or at any place. And the other thing which stood out so much in the whole story for me is she shared a little bit of her life story and about her niece. It was she converted from Christianity to Mormon, and she said, it's quite strange because the niece, she always talks about the Lord. She can't say any sentence without ending it with God or Jesus or whatever, but to her it always feels so so driven by moral, or like she has to talk. She because of the, how do you say? Yeah, like she's forced to. And but then she said, "What you spoke were words of love, of genuine love." And this is what touched me so much, that God is really interested in those miracles, bringing the supernatural to earth. But what his motivation behind everything is love, and that people will fall in love with Jesus not because of miracles or because of supernatural things to happen, but because of compassion. The compassion we bring to them, the compassion they see and experience through us. And this is, I think, one of the biggest things I learned through iDestiny, that relationship is everything. I mean, our theology, it changed a lot during iDestiny, but it was not a change of mindset, and then somehow the relationship changed. It was just the other way around. Through those God encounters, through those things, God showed me in a very, very personal and timid way. My theology changed afterwards. Before I even knew what actually was going on, before I could prove somehow with the Bible, before I could find the according verses, it was always those relationship encounters. Those how I met Jesus and all the people here around, all the teachers we had, all the things going on. So this was my bit of the story.
Stay there. So they were on holiday, okay, just having a good time, right? A perfect love cast out fear. Oh, it's a dangerous prayer, okay, but I highly recommend it, okay. Just allow yourself to be loved. Allow yourself to be loved. It just is the most precious thing. And, I mean, that is just left wrist, screws. Oh. I mean, sorry, but I think you've got to be impressed. I think God's quite clever. So well done. And I want you to hear that story not as a oh right, but as a wow. Because the thing is, I just want to say this. Barbara would have been impressed anyway, right? She would have just been impressed, because you cannot fail to be impressed when somebody stops to love you. Because something happens in here. Because people have done it to me. And, you know, I know what it's like. And you know what it's like when somebody stops to love you. Whatever that looks like. So, in a sense, screws and wrists, that's icing on the cake. And you know, I just think God's having such a laugh, you know. Oh, no, don't pray for me. What do you mean? I wanted to be able to pray and see you healed. No, actually, God's already done that bit. You know, that's not That's not the important thing. The important thing is that just we take the time to love.
We hope this message blessed you. If you're hungry for the more of God, if you want to be equipped to live the normal Christian life 24/7, see miracles, walk in healthy relationships, and discover Christ in you, then why don't you head over to www.idestiny.org.uk. iDestiny is Kingsway's 5-month full-time ministry and discipleship school, starting both in March and September every year. For more information on Kingsway Church, please visit www.kwcm.org. And for more information about iDestiny, please visit www.idestiny.org.uk. Have a great day.